Parshas Mikhei, it's Tav Shin Pei. So we'll do a summary of the Parsha. And before we do that, tonight's Shir should be Elizachos Rafu Shlema for David Yehuda ben Yosef Meha Kohen, who's an elderly man, mamish, like a Zaidi to me, who's not doing well in the hospital, always in critical condition, and needs Rachami Shamayim and just everything to be as painless as possible. Rafu Shlema for Betzalel Tzibin Chai Yocheved, and Rafu Shlema for, I should say, Tinok ben Hinda. So she'll have a refuah shleima b'karav mamish. So we'll start off with a summary. So we know this parsha is really, continues our story of Yosef down in Mitzrayim. And it begins with Paro having his dreams, and Yosef goes ahead and interprets them. His two dreams, he can't find anyone to interpret them. And then the Sarah Mashkim remembers Yosef and goes ahead and tells Paro about Yosef, and they take him out of jail. They bring Yosef to the king, and he goes ahead and interprets them, and Paro is satisfied and happy with, he's impressed with Yosef's interpretation and his wisdom, and he appoints Yosef as the viceroy and second in command of Mitzrayim. And we know the dreams that Yosef, what he said the interpretation would be, is that there would be 7 years of Sova and 7 years of Rav, there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he didn't just interpret them, but he also gave him advice what to do, that he should save up they should save the food from the years of plenty for the years of famine, and that's that the people would have food during the years of famine. And Pa really liked that. So it happened, and the dreams came true. Yosef was 30 years old at the time, only accountable to Pyro, no one else in all of Mitzrayim. And the 7 years of plenty came, and Yosef went ahead and, you know, saw that and collected and saved up all the grains and went ahead and had the foresight to do that. He married Osnat, and that was the daughter of Potipharah, and he had two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, in the sixth parasha. And then after the 7 years of plenty, they had the famine. So it happened, it was very bad. There was no food anywhere. It affected Mitzrayim and that whole region, not just Mitzrayim, but the lands near Mitzrayim as well. And Yosef had sufficient food as he had planned. And he sold it to people who needed it. He became very rich through this process. Mitzrayim did really. He gave the money. He didn't keep the money, but he became, you know, the Mitzrayim became wealthier. Pyro. And in Canaan, Yosef's father at the time sent his 10 oldest sons without Binyamin down to go ahead and to buy food in Mitzrayim. And they got there before Yosef. And we know Yosef didn't, they didn't recognize Yosef, but Yosef recognized them and saw his brothers. He didn't reveal himself right away, we know. And they asked Yosef for food, and Yosef dealt with them very harshly. He accused them of being spies, and they were kept incarcerated for 3 days. After that, Yosef released them all except for Shimon. He kept Shimon as a prisoner and told him to go back and kept them as ransom, basically, and said, go get Binyamin, bring Binyamin down. And they realized that the brothers, Sukkim that say, they realized this was a punishment for selling Yosef. They were throwing him in the pit and regretted that. They had charata. So he told he basically told his servants to put money in the brothers, put the monies the brothers gave for the food in the sacks of the grain they were given, and kind of set them up. They came back to Canaan. They told Yaakov what happened. Yaakov was very disturbed and upset that he'd have to let go of Binyamin now. Already Yosef was taken. Now Binyamin is Rachel's only remaining son. But eventually Yehuda went ahead and said he personally guaranteed that his own children and Binyamin's safe return. And his own descendants, really. And Yaakov then and Binyamin went down. And basically, they arrived back in, and Yaakov sent them with gifts to try to please Yosef. They get to Mitzrayim. And Yosef told tell them all to come in. They came in, and they were reunited with Shimon. Yosef came along, and they gave him the gifts. And they exchanged pleasantries. Everything seemed good. And when he saw Binyamin, he was overcome with emotion. Why? Because it was his brother from Rachel Imenu. And he concealed his emotions. They didn't go ahead and see that he was so emotional. And at the end of the parsha, really, the brothers started to head back. They were leaving. But Yosef planted the royal goblet, the silver goblet, in Binyamin's sack of food. And he sent somebody to go ahead and confront him to uncover what he had planted. And what happened was, all the brothers were brought back to Yosef, and he demanded that the thief, whoever stole that silver goblet, which was Binyamin, who was really set up for this, would have to stay, remain behind as a slave. And that's really where the parsha ends, as a cliffhanger, again, leaving us like in suspense. What's going to happen? Now, Binyamin's a slave. Yaakov Avinu's not going to be able to handle this at his old age. And we'll have to see what happens in Parshas Vayigash next week to continue the story. But that is the high-level overview summary of the parsha. So to start, we're going to start off with a little riddle. And hopefully by the end of the shir, although the shir might not have much to do with the riddle, it's just a fun riddle, and it's connected to Hanukkah and Yosef. But by the end of this year, we'll have to save a minute at the end to solve the riddle, so you can think about what this riddle means. So there is a sefer called the Chamra Tava, which has a collection of riddles and different like ideas based upon the Torah. So he says as follows in source number one: Kach Metzias Yosef, take the Metzias of Yosef, what Yosef, you know, what his Metzias was. El Bigde Yosef, to the clothing of Yosef, Umechir Yosef, and the sale of Yosef, El Tosefes Yosef, and to that which is added to Yosef, V'timtze Chanukah, and you'll come up with Chanukah. So if you take these four things, the Metzias of Yosef, with the Bigde of Yosef, with the Mechir of Yosef, and Tosefes Yosef, you'll end up equals Chanukah. How? We'll have to see. But we see a connection here between Yosef and Chanukah. There are a lot of connections, and we'll see how much time we have to speak about them.
The sale of Joseph and Hanukkah, or just Joseph Joseph,
Yosef HaTzadik, just as a person, his life, his whole life, yeah. But that's the riddle, so we'll have to figure that out by the end of this year. So in source number two, this is a very radical and really insightful Beis HaLevi. So the Beis HaLevi on this week's Parsha says something that's very... it's very, you know, it can really make a person think about how this world works, how the world operates, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and intervenes and directly, you know, there's divine intervention in the world. Because if you look at source two, so we know that the beginning of the parsha tells us, "Vayihini kech nasayin yamim ufaroch olem, vihine omet al ha'yor." It was the end of two full years from the time that Yosef was left in jail after the Sar Mashkim and the Sar Ofim left, and Paro had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Yor, by the Nile River. So says Rashi on this pasuk. Get to Rashi. So Rashi says, "Vayhimi ketz ketar gumo misof." It was the end. It was the end of that two-year period. So if we look at the Beis HaLevi in source number two, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it's like the end of the two-year period and Paro had a dream. What's the connection between the two? Just tell us Paro had a dream. What's that related to the fact that it's the end of 2 years after Yosef was still in jail?
Right.
Says the Beis HaLevi as follows. Amar B'Medrash, Ketz Sam L'Choshech. An end was put to the darkness. Again, maybe an allusion to Yavan. There were, the Torah calls, when it says Choshech, Medrash says Zumachus Yavan. Ketz Sam L'Yosef. So an end was put to Yosef in prison. Kama Yevesa Asurim Kevan She'egia HaKetz Ufarocholim. How long would it be that he's in jail? As soon as the end of the time came, Paro has a dream. So if we look at the Pasuk again, Vayihini Ketz, and the Pasuk's on the top of page number two. Vayihini Ketz Nasayim Yomim. It was the end of 2 years, and Paro had his dream. It seems to be connected. That because perhaps it was the end of the 2 years, Paro had his dream. What does that mean exactly? What's the basic level telling us? He's telling us the end had to come. It was time for Yosef to get out of jail, and Paro had his dream. That's what he's saying, based on his Medrash. That's what the Medrash says. So he explains as follows. Vir divrei ha-Medrash. He explains the Medrash. D'lechol davar sheba'olam yesh siba mesoviv. Everything in the world has a cause and an effect. You do this, that happens. There's a result. U'kumo echad kanas chayra achas v'herviach sach gadol b'zeh. U'lefisha kol ha'anushi k'nias ha-schayra ha-siba sh'nestaviv mizeh herviach soch mamon. So as a person goes ahead, he buys an investment. He buys something that he thinks is going to go up in value, whatever it is. He wants to flip a house. He buys a house and invests in it. He buys some stock in the stock market. And it goes ahead and he makes a lot of profit off it. He makes a lot of money. So he thinks what? Because I bought the investment, that's the cause. What's the effect? I have a lot of money. My investment did well. I have a high return. And that's my result. Aval be'emes hutos, says the Beis Halevi, in reality, that's not true. He's mistaken. De'lo hasiba garma lo harevach. It's not the cause of the fact that he went ahead and bought that investment that made him a lot of money. Rak min hashamayim nigzar alav she'arviach. Rather, instead, there was a gzera from Hashem. Hashem decided this person is going to be rich. That's going to be what their lot is going to be in this world. That will be their test. That will be how, you know, how they use their money. That's a gzera. That's what's going to happen. And what? The alkain nistavev shikna scharazu. And because Hashem decided this person's going to be rich, he went ahead and made that investment. The exact opposite. What's the cause? What's the effect? It's not the cause, oh, I bought the investment, the result, the effect is that now I'm wealthy. The cause is the Ribono Shel Olam decided that this person is going to be wealthy. That's the cause. What's the effect? He makes the investment.
Right, right.
Mamish flips it. The exact opposite of the way we think of things in this world. V'nimtza ha-revach hu ha-siba. So the revach, the profit, the increase in value is the cause from the gzera from Shemayim. V'knias ha-schora hu ha-mesoviv. K'dei sha-yada yihi ha-tachlis ha-nirtza. And the purchase of this schora, of this investment, is just the result of how the cause of the gzera of Shemayim, of him becoming wealthy, is going to happen, and how the purpose will come out to be true. So that's what he explains. And then he connects, so he explains now, so what does that have to do with our parsha? V'chein kan, asher lafi ha-seichel, ha-yada ha-chalom shel paro hu siba, shi'atzi mimena zeh ha-mesov, shi'atzi zeh mitvisa. Right? Harry. It sounds in the parsha like what? We know Yosef had to come out of jail to help interpret Paro's dreams. So it sounds like Paro had his dreams. That's the cause. What's the effect? What's the result? Yosef has to come ahead and get released from prison to interpret the dreams. No. Says the Beis Halevi, Uva emes ein okein, it's not true. Ve'adavar hu lehefech. De'ikar hadavar haya shehagia hazman liyosef shiatzim v'sasurim. In truth, what happened was, it was just time for Yosef to get out of jail. Hashem decreed, now the years are up. That's what it is. Ve'hi miketz the shnasayim yamit, shnasayim shanim. It was the end of 2 years. So, umizeh nistavi shechalim paracholim. So Paro had to have his dreams in order for Yosef to get out of jail. But the cause was what?
Yosef was
Yosef getting out of jail, and the result was Paro having his dreams. The exact opposite. You read the parsha, you think, no, it's Paro having his dreams, and that caused that's the cause, and the result is Yosef getting out of jail.
No.
Basically, he says, no, that's not how the Ribono Shel Olam works. It's an amazing idea to think about in our lives, in our personal lives, how the Hashgacha Pratis of the Ribono Shel Olam works, the divine intervention with the cause and the effect in our lives. And it just shows how Hashem is really directly involved, mamish, in each and every person's life. Amen. And the Beis Halevi says this similar idea on Parshas Bo. He says, he talks about the mitzvah of matzah and maror, and he says like this in source number 3. Aval ikar yesoda shel mitzvah, lama kach ya mitzvah, einenu bishvil zeh, ma shahaya b'mitzrayim, dehari ha-torah kodmal olam. Right, why do we eat matzah and maror on Pesach? To remember what happened in Mitzrayim, right? That the Jews left Mitzrayim with matzahs, and they had to rush out, and the maror is to remind us of the bitter times.
Right.
Exactly. He says, that's not true, because the Torah was given before Mitzrayim. The Torah was given, it was created before the world was created. So how could it be that the mitzvos of matzah and maror are just to remember something that happened in Mitzrayim if the Torah predated, because it was created before the world was created. It was the blueprint that Hashem created the whole world with. So it can't be that it's just for that reason. It has to be there's something else. He says, and the mitzvah matzah was written in the Torah before the whole world was created, before it's many, many, many years before Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. And also all the Avos kept the Torah as we know. And we know that Avraham Avinu, he ate matzah, even though it was many, many years before Galus Mitzrayim. We're going over the Beis Halevi on Parshas Miketz and the Beis Halevi and Parshas Bo. So the Beis Halevi and Parshas Bo, in source number 3, says as follows. He continues, V'akurachach, mitzvos elu lo nimtzu mi geulas Mitzrayim, rak hu lehipuch Mizachus mitzas Pesach umatzu umarer sheish b'layla hazos nimtzas gulasan mitzrayim b'layla zu. He says as follows. You're forced to say that what? These mitzvos aren't because of the Geulas Mitzrayim. It's the opposite. Again, the Siba and the Mesevev, what are they? It's not because we left Mitzrayim and had a matzah and marer, now we have the mitzvos of matzah and marer. It's the exact opposite. The mitzchus, matzos, pesach, matzos, umarer, mitzos, sorry, yeah, mitzvos, pesach, matzos, umarer, sheesh balayla hazos, nimtza gulasan mimitzrayim balayla zu. It's because of the zechusim of the matzah and the mitzvos of the matzah and marer on this night that we had the geula of Mitzrayim on this night. V'zehu demeshiv la'rasha achikirosa v'igadat levincha bayomu lemar bavor zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim lo amar lo bavor sheyatzasim Mitzrayim ani osa ha-mitzvah rak lehipuch bavor mitzvos elu nischadish lanu yitzis Mitzrayim. And he says that's how you can explain the lashon of the Rasha, why we say it specifically to him. But the idea he's saying is that, yeah, the reason we had the geula of Mitzrayim is because there were these mitzvos of matzah and marer that already were in the Torah, because the Torah was created before the entire world was created. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to, they were the zechusim to get out of Mitzrayim. But the cause, it's a crazy, an incredible concept if you think about it. The cause of leaving Mitzrayim didn't result in having matzah and marer, because there were already these mitzvos of matzah and marer in the Torah, and the Torah is the blueprint that was created before the entire world, the Geulas Mitzrayim had to happen. It had to happen. That was the result in the zechus of those mitzvahs, which already happened. So it flips everything around on its head. And that's exactly what happens in this week's parsha again. Paro has his dreams, not because it's time for it, not because that's the reason that Yosef goes ahead and gets out of jail. Instead, no. Vayihini ketz nasayim yamim is the end of 2 years. It was time for Yosef to get out. Ketz l'chayshech, ketz for Yosef, ufaruchulim. What happens? Paro has his dreams. The cause is Yosef has to get out of jail. It was gzeir from Shemayim that time's up. What's the result? What's the mesevei? What's the effect? Ufaruchulim. That's the way that he's going to get out. But the cause is no. It's time for Yosef to get a whole different hashkafic way of understanding how the Ribbono Shel Olam interacts in this world. So that's the Beis Halevi in two different places on our parsha and in Parsha Bo, explaining the Tziba and Mesoviv and how they're really the hefech of what people might think with common sense. Source number 4 is the psukim that discuss the chalom, and we know that really Paro had 2 dreams, right? One of them was the fat cows and the skinny cows, and there were 7 of each of them, and the seven skinny cows went ahead and devoured the 7 fat, beautiful cows, and Paro, the Pasuk says, Vayikatz Paro, Paro awoke. And then, next Pasuk in Pasuk Hey tells us, Vayishon Vayachalom Shenis, he had a second dream, and there were 7 ears of grain that were growing on 1 stalk, they were very healthy and good, and 7 ears of grain that were beaten and they were weak or whatever, they were growed up afterwards. And, again, Paro was, the morning woke up, Paro woke up, he was troubled, and he sent and summoned all the Chachamim, the Chatumim of Mitzrayim, to come ahead and try to interpret the dreams of Paro. But Pasuk tells us, Ein posero salna Paro. They couldn't interpret them for Paro. So we know, Rashi says, what does it mean, Ein poser o salna Paro? They didn't interpret them for Paro. It means they had interpretations. Paro didn't like any of them. And Rashi says what some of the interpretations are. Posim hayo osam. Aval lola Paro. Shalohaya kulan nichnas boiznav. He wouldn't listen to it. Their voices didn't reach his ears. He didn't like he had no satisfaction from the interpretation. It wasn't, he knew it was wrong. He didn't accept it. They thought the seven cows and the 7 stalks were gonna have seven daughters you're gonna have, 7 daughters you're gonna bury. So we know what happens. Yosef goes ahead and the Sarah Mashkim goes ahead and tells Paro about Yosef, and he gets taken out of jail and he comes through. So Sefer Or Yashar was really a commentary on Rashi. He explains in source number 5 a very fascinating pshat. He says it's a whole new way of understanding the dreams of Paro. How many dreams did Paro have? 2. We think 2. Maybe not. Let's see what the Or Yashar says. The Or Yashar says as follows. He's medayik in a couple of the words by both dreams to have a new mahalik and understanding what these dreams, what happened exactly? How, what happened that night in Paro's sleep? It says, Vihine Chalom, and Pasuk Zion, Rashi says above, and in source number 4, Vihine Chalom, Vihine Nishlom Chalom Shalim Lefana Vehutzrach Lepoisra. And behold, at the end of Pasuk Zayin, Vatzivlana Hashibolim Adakos, Esheva Hashibolim Adrios, Vamleas, Vayikatz Paro, Vihine Chalom. What does it mean? Behold, was a dream. Rashi says it was a whole dream that was Shalim. It was now finally, it was Nishlom Chalom Shalim Lefanov, and he needed now the interpreters to come, and it required them to go ahead and translate what the dreams meant. It says the Ayashar, Vihine Nishlom Chalom Shalim Lefanov, Hutzrach Leposrim, Ayime Farshe Rashi, Ulanias Daiti, Kavanas Rashi Lefarish Hamikra Kach. He says, I think what Rashi really means is the following. And other Mefarshi Rashi, he says, say similar. Earlier, what did the Pasuk say? So if you look in source number, Dalet and Hey, so at the end of the dreams of the cows, the last two words in Pasuk Dalet are Vayikatz Paro, Paro woke up. Pasuk Hey says, Vayishan, he went back to sleep. Vayachalom, and he had a dream. Visham lo amar vihine chalom. Vikan amar vihine chalom. But at the end of Pasuk Zayin, it says, vihine chalom. And behold, we have a dream. And that's why Rashi is saying, Nishlam chalom shalom lefanav. Visham lo amar vihine chalom. Vikan amar vihine chalom. So there it says that he went back to sleep, that he awoke. And then he went back to sleep a second time, and he had a second dream. Here it says, behold, he had a dream. Mizem mashma dahakol haya chalom echad. Says our Yasher, from here it's mashma, the entire experience, all these psukim, both dreams were really one dream. The entire experience was one dream. Ritzon olomer, masha amar kodem vayikatz paro vayishan vayachalom shenis, hakol haya becholamo. When it says earlier that Paro woke up, after the dream of the cows, the seven cows, skinny cows, and the fat cows, and the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and then he went back to sleep a second time, that was in Paro's dream. Wow. Not that Paro actually woke up, literally, physically, in this world.
Right.
He dreamt that he woke up. Ki be'emes lo hukatz klal. Really, he didn't get up at all. Ki lo haya mekitz atzmo. If he would have woken up, he would have woken himself up. Lo hayuchal lishin shenis. What?
He dreamed that he woke up.
Exactly. Oh. Why? What's his proof? Because if I woke up after having such a scary dream, I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep so easily. Right. But the Pasuk just says he woke up and he went back to sleep and he had a second dream. So the diak is no. He couldn't just go back to, it wasn't reality. It was, he was dreaming that he woke up and that he was going back to sleep and dreaming that he had a second dream.
Right.
Ki haya nifam rucho. Apistron chalom pelakaze. His ruach would have been stirred. He would have been all worked up about what these dreams mean. Kasher beemes matzina lebesof ki spaim rucho. Because as we see later on, Paro is disturbed. He gets all the chacham and all the chartum go ahead and try to translate for him because he's so bothered by the dream. So if he woke up after the first dream, which was a very disturbing dream, he would have felt that way also. He would have been so bothered. Va'az lo haya roe chalom beiz pam. He wouldn't have seen this dream twice. So therefore, he didn't get up at all. So he had a dream that he woke up and went back to sleep and had a second dream. And he says, that's what Rashi is saying. What does Rashi say? Four lines up from the end of the wide lines there. Ata nishlam chalom shalim. Ki b'chalom ha-paros lohaya chalom shalim. Ki lohukatz klal acharav. Rashi's saying at the end of the second dream, now we have a complete dream. Because at the end of the cows, he didn't wake up. There was no dream. It wasn't a finished dream yet. It wasn't a finished product of what happened. Now at the end of the second dream, he had a full dream. Ad ata. The imkein haya chalom b'sei chalom. It was a dream within a dream. V'uvadah miskayim b'amr chazal. And Chazal said that if you think if you have two dreams, or in dreams in a dream, there's a Gemara that talks about it, that says it's going to happen. Because he knew then it was going to, Paro, I guess, I don't know if he knew Chazal, but I think that's what he's like hinting to. Paro knew it was going to be a Chalom Hamiskayim. He was now very scared that he had both these dreams within one dream. So it's a whole new way of understanding the psukim here. Is that Paro really had one big dream the whole time. Waking up, falling back asleep, and having a second dream was a dream. It was within the dream. And both dreams, we know, had the same message that Yosef ended up interpreting, which makes sense. And that's how Rashi says, Nishlam Chalom Shalim Lefanav, because the Pasuk, at the end of Pasuk Zayin, after the second dream, goes and said, Hinei Chalom. So it's really one big dream, not two dreams, according to the Ari Yashar's explanation in Pshat and Rashi. If we look in source number 8, so source number 8, Perek Membeis, Pasuk Tes. So Yosef, in the middle of the encounter with the brothers, he says, the pasuk says, "Vayiskor Yosef es hachalomos asher chalom lahem, vayomer alehem miraglim atem liros es ervas haaretz basem." Where he goes ahead and accuses them of being miraglim, and they're just coming to buy food innocently. He remembers his dreams. Yosef remembers the dreams that he dreamed about them. Because remember, he recognized them. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know he was Yosef, but he knew it was his brothers. And he remembers which dreams? The dreams he had back in Parshas Vayeshev. The dreams of him going ahead and the stalks of wheat representing the road bowing down to him, and the dreams of the 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to him. He remembered those dreams. What is the Torah telling us here? In the middle of this encounter, all of a sudden, Yosef remembered the dreams. What's the message there? What are we supposed to learn from there? So if you look, we see the Ramban in source number 9. First, before we get to the Ramban, because he quotes Rashi, we'll look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Asher chalom lahem aleihem," the dreams that he had, right, to them, meaning about them, really, the Targum Yonasan translates, "the yeda sheniskaimu," and now he knew that his dreams had been fulfilled, because what did the brothers do? Shehari ishtafulo, they bow down to him. So now the dreams are coming true. They're MS, says Rashi. Ramban takes issue with this. Says the Ramban in source number 9, "Vayiskor Yosef es hachalomos asher chalom lahem aleihem v'yada sheniskamu shehari yishtachulo." Quotes Rashi, "V'yada sheniskamu shehari yishtachulo," that the dreams were fulfilled because they bowed down to him. Says the Ramban, "Ulefi daiti shadavar behefech." He says, no. In my opinion, the matter is actually the exact opposite. "Ki yomar hakasuv ki biros Yosef es hachalom yishtachulo lo." For the pasuk is saying that when Yosef saw his brothers bowing down to him, "Zachar kol hachalomos asher chalom lahem," it was specifically at that point that then he remembered the dreams that he had. "V'yada shelo niskayim echad mehem b'pam hazos," and he knew that not even one of the dreams was yet fulfilled at this time. "Ki yodea b'pisronim ki kol echad yishtachlo b'tchila," because he knew that all his brothers would have to bow down to him first. "Min hachalom harishon v'hi enachnu me'almim alumim." Because from the first dream, when they were binding sheaves, and the other sheaves bowed down to his sheaf, "Anachnu ki anachnu yirmos dechol echav acharasar." The anachnu meaning we together, all 11 of them and him. Who's missing here? Binyamin. Binyamin's not there. One brother's missing, so it's not anachnu. It's not all of us. "Upav sheni shishtachu l'Hashemesh ve'erech v'acharasar kochav v'min achalom sheni." And the second dream with, again, the stars. There were 11 stars that were bowing down to him. So it's clear. He saw Binyamin was with them. Chashazos hatachbula shi'ali alehem kadesh yaviu gam Binyamin echav achiv elav. So he came up with this plan. He came up with a scheme that he would go ahead and he would make a false accusation against them to tell them that they're spies, so that they would bring Binyamin down as well. L'kayim acholam harishon tchila, to fulfill the first dream first. And that's why he didn't tell them. Right? That's the question. Why didn't he just reveal himself right away? They're in pain. I mean, they think their brother's dead. Tell him I'm Yosef. Tell him immediately, send the message back to my father. Yosef's alive. Right? That seems like a chait and a vera of Yosef's behalf not to go ahead and reveal himself immediately. But no. He wanted to make sure that the dreams were fulfilled. And that they should hurry up and go tell Yaakov Avinu, as he did the second time when they came to him, to go rush up there and tell Yaakov. Yaakov would have came undoubtedly immediately. But after the first dream was fulfilled, meaning it was just the brothers, then the second dream, by bringing Yaakov down to Mitzrayim as well, was able to be fulfilled. So he says, of course,
his mom's dead, so it's hard to, and we'll say, yeah, well, it was Bilha, but it's hard.
Right. It's, it is hard. They say it's very, because that's a different question, say it's Bilha, but, for sure. Ulekein, and with this understanding, he also goes ahead and says the Ramban, and he explains just this what I just alluded to. Ulekein, were this not true, then Haya Yosef Chote Chit Gadol Letzaris Aviv Lahamido Yamim Rabim Bishchol VeEvil Al Shimon. Then Yosef would have been doing a great sin in causing grief to his father by keeping him in bereavement over Shimon, by keeping Shimon in jail, and his father didn't know what was going on with Shimon. The father, because Shimon was dead also. And about himself, the Olav. And even if you want to say that his desire was to paint his brothers a little bit, how could he not have pity on his father's suffering in his old age and not to reveal himself to his fathers? Rather, he did everything well in its proper time. Why? In order to fulfill the dreams, for he knew that they were surely be fulfilled. He knew that they had to be fulfilled. So again, some say Yosef thought it was like a prophecy that he had to make sure they were Miskayim. But that's why Yosef didn't reveal himself to the brothers right away. That's why Yosef didn't send the message to Yaakov Avinu, because he knew the dreams weren't yet fulfilled without Binyamin. He needed to make sure Binyamin was there. So he had to come up with a plan of how Binyamin's going to come. And that's why the pasuk in the middle of nowhere just tells us Yosef remembers his dreams and then accuses them of being the miraculous, because the scheme came as a result of him remembering his dreams. So that's Ramban's chat. So if we look at our source number 10, the Abar Benel has a little bit of a different shot. The Abar Benel says, it's page number 4, Uvnes Sveikos Asher Ra B'derech Hazeh Ra Lahaviyam B'nisayon. Yosef was testing his brothers. Very interesting shot. Why did he accuse them of being Meraglim? He was testing them. L'das Yim B'kaf Be'z Shana Shelo Ra Osam, to see if in the 22 years they hadn't seen each other, Shanu Es Tach Chuno Seha, did they change their ways at all? Did they change their behaviors? Or are they the same the way they were 22 years ago when they sold me down the river and wanted to kill me? Have they done tshuva? Have they changed their actions? V'im nischaratu v'ma sha'asu kenegdo. To see, do they feel bad? Do they have charata? They regret over what they did to him. U'v'ezo tchuna kayemes hayu. V'lachin havchino ba'amar aleh miraglim atem. Ara shero sha'asu tshuva shlima k'mo sha'amar aval ashemim anachnu v'goymer. So he wanted to accuse them that they were miraglim. He wanted to see how would they react. How would they deal with the situation? How would they go ahead and what would their interactions with each other be? Would they try to defend Shimon? Would they try to protect him? Would they try to get Binyamin? Would they not? What would they do with Binyamin? Were they changed? Did they go ahead and do tshuva from the time that they went ahead and sold Yosef down the river? So it's an interesting pshat in the Abar Benel. Why did Yosef accuse them of being miraglim? I mean, it's one question you can ask on it though is, was it Yosef's place to go ahead and to test the brothers? Is that the Ribono Shalom's place to make sure someone does tshuva? Is it Yosef? Is it anyone in this world's place to go ahead and make sure somebody does tshuva? Even Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, even if it was against them, is it my job, my achrayis, my obligation, and that I need, and to especially act so harshly to put my brother in prison, to cause more tzar to my father, according to the Abar Benel, all this stuff happened because he wanted to see if they changed? So it's a little difficult to go ahead and
ask the same question on the Ramban though. Is it his place to cause pain to his father in order to get the dreams to come about? If you look back at the Beis Halevi, the cause and effect,
exactly.
maybe he could have been a little more patient. Same question.
You're right. I think it's as strong as the Ramban. It's almost as strong as the Ramban. Yeah, I mean, I don't know any halachos really about if you have a dream and you know it's a nevuah, and you have to make sure they come true. I have a dream. Oh, we're going to get to that soon. We're going to get to that. We got to get to that. Okay, we have a little more time. We're going to get to that. We're going to quote that tonight. Mitzvah Shem. So then we have Rishim Shon Rafal Hirsch.
It's bigger than that.
In Rishim Shon Rafal Hirsch in source number 11 gives us the third shot. And he says, Alein Lanasis Levaris on Hagos Yosef in Tocha Chasa. We need to try to understand what Yosef did. And he basically goes ahead and, one second, let me just find, just to get to the meaty part. He basically goes ahead, it's a little long, you should read it inside, it's a really very nice piece. And I couldn't find it in English, so we have to read it in Hebrew, which is good. The three things in Hebrew. But he basically says that he wanted the brothers to be united. He wanted there to be achdus amongst all the brothers together before Yaakov, you know, came down. And to have Binyamin there along with the other 10 brothers, with him, and for them all to go ahead and to have shalom between all of them, make sure that there was peace between them and among them, and then to have Yaakov Avinu come down. And that's really why he did this, because he couldn't just send Yaakov the message, but he wanted to go ahead and make sure that there was no more strife, no more problems, no tension with the brothers, but it needed to be unification with all the brothers. All 12 of them had to be together to really have that shlemus of the Shvatim together before Yaakov Avinu would come down from Mitzrayim, and that was his whole plan of sending them to the Yaakov. So that's Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch chat in source number 11. Source number 12 goes ahead, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and he says, beautiful Torah. Rabbi Sacks, as always, he says as follows in his book, Lessons in Leadership. He takes every parsha, it's a beautiful book, and essays, and he goes ahead and draws lessons in leadership from every parsha. He finds lessons in leadership. So this parsha has a lot to learn, because Yosef becomes a leader and comes from jail. And we didn't quote the Sforno before, I didn't put it inside, I forgot. But we know the Sforno says, "Vayritzu min habor," for the Sforno is the one, I think, the first one to coin the phrase, not exactly these words, but he says, Yeshua Hashem keharafayim, basically. That one second Yosef's in jail, the next second he's second in command of the wealthiest nation at the time. So we don't have the Sforno inside, but clearly Yosef all of a sudden went ahead from nothing and being in jail, a prisoner, to being really powerful. So he says, what are the signs of leadership? So he says, in one of the greatest transformations in all of literature, Yosef moves in one bound from prisoner to prime minister. What was it about Yosef, a complete outsider to Egyptian culture, a Hebrew, a man who had been for years languishing in jail on a false charge of attempted rape, that marked him out as a leader of the greatest empire of the ancient world? What were the special koichos of Yosef? So he says, first of all, he had three gifts. Three gifts that many have in isolation, but few in combination. And in order to be a great leader like Yosef was, in order to be Yosef HaTzadik and strive for the highest excellence and to the best of the best, become second to Pyro from jail, you need to have all three of these qualities. The first is that he dreamed dreams. Initially, they're just dreams of his years in adolescence, but he says that a leader has to have dreams. He has to have big dreams. He has to have visions of what could be. He says, second, is that Yosef could interpret the dreams of others. He did so for the Sarah Mashkin, the Sarah Ofim, and Pyro. You help others. You give to others. So first is you yourself have to be able to have a vision. See something. Go ahead and envision what the future could be as a leader. Second is you need to be there for the people. And you need to go ahead and help them. And he says, third, in his most impressive achievement, was the ability to implement the dreams, solving the problem of which they were an early warning. No sooner had he told of a 7-year famine that he continued without pause to provide a solution. He didn't just come through and tell them, here's the problem. You're having a dream. The dream is going to be, it means that there's going to be years of famine and years of plenty. I'm going back to my jail cell now. Thank you. He came up with a solution and suggested how we're going to go ahead and implement the dreams practically. So those are the three key nekudos. You need to have those big dreams, and it's good to have dreams. Good to have dreams, to want to strive for more, to strive for greatness. You need to help others and interpret their dreams, and you need to go ahead and figure out how to implement those dreams and obviate the obstacles that come when those dreams are trying to come to fruition. So that's Rabbi Sachs' Vart on leadership in this week's Parsha, and I see that we are running out of time. We'll conclude with ending off the answer to the riddle. So we started off, Rabbi Aaron, and Shimshon, I don't know if you're here for it. So we start off, there's a riddle in the beginning, in source number one. Kach mitzias Yosef el bigde Yosef, u'mechir Yosef el tosefes Yosef v'tinsa chanaka. You take these four things of Yosef, the mitzias of Yosef, the bigde Yosef, the mechir Yosef, and tosefes Yosef, equals chanaka. What does that mean exactly? It's sefer chamar tava. So if you look on the last page, is the answer to the riddle. Cute little riddle. So source number 16, if you look in Parshas Vayigash, what is the Metzias of Yosef? So the Pasuk says, Vayimtza Yosef chein be'enof. Yosef found favor in Paro's eyes, in Potiphar's eyes. Right? Chein, ches nun. It's Lashon Hanukkah also. Now, if we take that, that's the Metzias of Yosef, el bigde Yosef. What were the clothing of Yosef? Vayaseh Paro's tabaso me'al yado v'yitein osal yad Yosef v'yal Yalbe Shosa Big De Shesh, Vayasim Rivad Hazav Al Tavaro. Big De Shesh. What's Shesh? What? Shesh? And Shesh is six. Shesh is Vav. So the Metzias of Yosef is what? Chain, Ches Nun. The Shesh is Big De Yosef. Bring that's six. Ches Nun, 6 in Gematria is Vav, Chesna and Vav. Vayavru Anashim, so what's the Mechir Yosef? How much was Yosef sold for? So if you look back in Parshas Vayeshev, exactly at the end of the Pasuk says, Be'eshim Kesef, he was sold for 20 Kesef. What's 20? Kaf. Chaf. Ches Nun Vav? Kaf. What are we missing? What's the last letter of Hanukkah? Hey. So what's the hey? Says the, this is the riddle, the Sefer Chamer Tava says, Tosefes Yosef. What's Tosefes Yosef? So we know the Gemara says, and based on this Pasuk, Eidus v'Yosef Samo v'Tisal Eretz Mitzrayim Shvasta Yadat Yashma. That Yosef, based on this pasuk, was a drasha that he had the letter Hey added to his name. So the letter Hey was the Haysafa, was the Haysif for Yosef, that the Hey was the letter, the extra letter that was added on to the end of Yosef's name, and that's Chanukah. That's the Tosefus Yosef. So we have the Metzias of Yosef, the Chain, the Big Day Yosef, the Sheish, the Vav, the Mechir Yosef, which is the sale for 20 Kesef, and concluding then the Tosefus Yosef, which is the letter Hey that was added on to Yosef's name, and you come up what? Tinsa Chanukah. Shkoyach everyone on coming. Fair Chanukah, and have a wonderful Shabbos. Okay.